Hello, and thank you for joining me today. I am Mindy McNeil. I am joined in studio with Carolyn Joy of Joy Wine and Spirits, and we have Sam here. He is the general manager. Is that correct? Okay. And you were with F&G, part of the TAG restaurant group. So thank you both very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Now, I'm probably not going to be talking a lot, and I don't even think Carolyn's going to be talking a lot, because we're going to be eating this amazing meal that Sam has brought today. I just want to say maybe all the calories are going to be stuck with you so that, you know, we'll just pass the buck that way. The calories don't count if somebody else brings it. But it's just an amazing comfort food meal. It is meatloaf with mashed potatoes, green beans, but I don't want to butcher the name of the gravy. And if I've said anything wrong here, redo everything for me if you need.
No, it's our Troy's Tutu's meatloaf. That is his grandmother's recipe. It's been passed on from generation to generation from when he was raised in Hawaii. The gravy is a cipollini and wild mushroom gravy.
What is? I've never heard of cipollini.
Yeah, cipollinis are little mini, like larger than a pearl onion, probably about a half a dollar size. Oven roast them, dice them up, throw them in with some wild mushrooms.
Wow. And the thing that amazed me, we were talking beforehand, and if you're listening on air, I really encourage you to go to the website and see this picture of this plate, because Sam was telling us, and I don't think he was lying when he said it. It's a meal. He said it's one serving, but Carolyn and I are just working our way through it slowly but surely, but
it's like a Thanksgiving meal.
It is. It is. And this could be a different option. So if I'm at Thanksgiving and you're tired of the Tom the turkey, this could be a completely different, amazing meal for Thanksgiving.
I was saying we should put one of our hands up here so we could give everybody perspective on the portion size, because if you ever remember those commercials way back, probably before you were born, of Hungry Man, they had this burly guy that was working all day and wanted to come in to eat something, some comfort food. This is way bigger than that, but reminds me a little bit of it in a fun way. Much, much, much better quality and really delicious. But we were also talking about, you know, why Troy decided to go this direction, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah, we're just trying to provide our guests, the people in the neighborhood, just that family feel, that comfort food on a cold winter day. You really need the place to get your belly full and not have all the little chefy, boutique-y restaurants that we find everywhere nowadays in an oversaturated market in Denver. It's just to bring classic quality back, which we feel has been missing in the area.
And this is opposite of what you frequently go out to, which is really small portions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the complete opposite, where it's very large portion.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun.
Well, it is. Well, I mean, we believe in kind of our theory is where quality and quantity actually meet. You find only places you're going to get the quality, but you're not going to get the quantity.
Mm-hmm.
You get the quantity, you don't get the quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we found a really good balance in between where you can come in, split a meal. You know, part of our theory there is we like to live free and dine hard. We expect you to dine. We expect you to have a good time. Sit down, relax, play a board game, nosh on some food, and move on to another cocktail, then to a glass of wine, then nosh on something else, and, you know, just continue your way through.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, F&G, is that family and games? What is? Or
well, F&G stands for F and good.
Okay.
Good. I like it.
Yeah.
But it is a family-friendly restaurant.
We are a family-friendly restaurant. Yeah. We are. I like to say that we believe in good tunes and good food. We always got good music playing. Lots of games for the kids. Mm-hmm. Simpsons pinball machine, board games. Trying to think what else we've got. The kids like to play Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You know, a lot of those classic things we grew up with, Candyland, and then lunch boxes filled
with
kid toys.
No, trouble.
If you've ever played that, it's the worst game ever.
No, we don't
get.
Have trouble.
Thank God. Okay,
sorry.
I can come.
Okay. Carolyn will be there now.
Yeah. What I like too is that sometimes, especially when you do have a family, and you don't have to have one to like this, but you don't always want to go out for a gourmet meal,
mm-hmm.
and this is something that you would cook on your own, but you just don't feel like cooking it on your own that night. And so it's nice to be able to go out to a restaurant where you can have home-cooked food.
Yeah, if you need to bring the kids out, bring the family out, you can get that really that quality home-cooked meal and not have to deal with any trouble yourself and know exactly
dishes.
What you're getting on the plate.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, it's probably a secret family recipe, but give us a little scoop on the meatloaf and the potatoes.
So it's not, we kind of feel like getting back to basics has always been the way to provide great food for guests and for yourself at home. The meatloaf is a nice, simple, basic recipe anybody can make at home. What we do is we take celery, carrots, onions, and mushrooms, finely dice those up. Mix them in with ground pork, one part ground pork to three parts ground beef. And then we add in a little bit of Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper for seasoning, and then panko breadcrumbs. And then you have to let it sit for at least 20 minutes to a half an hour. I think what a lot of people forget is they make their meatloaf, they pack it in a pan and just throw it right into the oven.
That's me.
And it gets dried out, it gets tough, it doesn't come tender. You need to let all those ingredients sit and do their thing with each other and work in harmony to create like an incredibly moist meatloaf, as I hope you're enjoying right now. And then one really good trick to always do is take a little bit, roll it into a meatball, and cook that off first and then try it.
For texture and
for texture and for seasoning. For flavor. You want to make sure it's not over seasoned or under seasoned, but you want to do it for flavor. It's the best thing to do is just roll up a little ball, throw it in the oven, cook that off first. When you're all said and done, you think you got the best flavor that you have, 350 for 45 minutes.
And how about the potatoes?
Potatoes, again, back to basic, all the butter, all the cream, salt and pepper.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, we do use Kennebec potatoes, which create a really nice, moist mashed potato. They don't fall apart or become broken or gummy when you add in too much cream or butter.
And then you dressed it with the gravy, but also, is that just ketchup or what is the red sauce?
So it is covered with a chipotle ketchup. Really easy to make. Just take your own homemade basic ketchup and emulsify it with chipotle peppers. A little bit of salt, not much, just a dash of kosher salt just to help bring out the chipotle peppers. It adds a little bit of hint of spice to it. And then on top is also covered with a cipollini gravy. The cipollini are a little bit larger than a pearl onion. Oven roast those and then dice them up. Best way to make a gravy is just get a little bit of that chicken stock, create a roux, equal parts flour and butter, sauteed into a pan, salt and pepper, and then basically just put on low and reduce with a nice wild mushroom mix and those cipollini onions that you've already diced up into the mix. Gravy.
Wow, this is good. And okay, so Carolyn, as you know, every time we do this, I'm such a not the expert on this. And so, but in my head, and I had said to you, I think even before we started, did you bring a red wine to go with the beef? Because I'm always like, okay, there's, you know, red for beef and white for chicken is in my, or seafood. So today you've brought a red?
I actually did bring a red. I this is a wine that I don't typically bring here because I try to bring wines that are really bright and crisp and food friendly, but when I heard comfort food and meatloaf, and I was really hoping for kind of a down-home recipe, I thought, you know, let's have a comfort wine. We had a Napa Valley vintner in our store the other day, and they had some phenomenal wines that are just gigantic, and they cost a couple $100 a bottle. They range from $100 to a couple $100, and they're really almost like a meal in themselves, and it's like, what would I eat with this? And then I found out what the food and wine pairing recipe was going to be. And I thought, well, I don't want to bring the $200 bottle, although it would be really interesting to have that with this meal. What I wanted to do was a very New World style Cabernet that if you were going to blind this, I don't think you would necessarily say Chile. So this is the Bella Cabernet Sauvignon. It's from Colchagua Valley in Chile. It's the 2014 and it's 100% cab. I think what Chile has to offer a lot of times is the New World style that we're used to from California, meaning that it's really dark fruit. It's very ripe and luscious and juicy and dark berry. And then you get some vanilla and oak in there, but at a fraction of the price. And so this is one time when I thought, generally, I like it where the wine and the food are balanced and one enhances the other. And I think that that does happen here. But also, this wine could almost take a little bit of attention away from the meal, which is okay in this context, I think, because these are all flavors that really and textures that really meld together. So to have a wine that also is sort of creamy and maybe a little bit bolder and almost is like the sauce that goes on top of the meatloaf. Like it's like the sweet ketchup part that goes on top of the meatloaf, in my opinion.
So is it just bringing it all together then, in your opinion?
Well, I think what this wine does is people are comfortable with California Cabernet.
Okay.
They're not always comfortable going out and having, and I'm making a very general statement.
All right.
There's plenty of people that are into food and wine and very experiential. They're experimenting all the time, and we have tons of customers like that. But we also have a great part of the population that just wants something that they know. Mm-hmm. And this is a wine that they would know. This is a taste that they would know. And so it's not always the best food pairing wine, but
okay.
I think in this situation it is. Does that make
yep,
any
yep.
more sense?
That actually,
yeah,
yes.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tonight we'll be tasting this wine.
Okay.
Along with a couple other Chilean wines, mm-hmm. and people can revisit something. I think Malbec has taken over from Chile, so a lot of people have forgotten about Chile.
Okay,
but it's still on the winemaking map and still offers a great value. So people can come in tonight and taste this wine mm-hmm. along with a few others. What I love about Chile, it's really moving away from that $7 bottle, which was fine and offered a good value. But now they're sort of defining themselves, and they have a lot of diversity in their growing. It's a really long country, so they have the Pacific Ocean and they have the Andes, and so they have all these different little microclimates where they can grow different grapes. For the longest time, they've been growing the same, you know, several different grapes in one area, but they're starting to define like they do in different parts of the world, like a Pinot Noir grows here, or a Cabernet goes here, or a Sauvignon Blanc grows here. So they're starting to define those areas within the country. And they're also starting to put more value into limiting their production and really improving their winemaking. You're still getting a great value, but you're probably, hopefully, you know, you're going to spend a little bit more than $7, but you're still going to get a great value compared to a California wine.
Well, and I think because you had said there's the $200 wine and then there's the $7 wine. So you can get something kind of in between, because I know earlier I had mentioned this $2 wine.
Right, yeah.
You know me, I'm the cheap Charlie sometimes, you know, but I think there is, you know, you can taste the difference in the more expensive wines.
Well, this is a really interesting little wine, because this is actually produced by a master sommelier. Every single one of his wines has received over 90 points and up to 96 points. It's from a 2-acre parcel. It's in new and used oak, which costs money, and it's only distributed, it's only exported, and it's only in Colorado, Nebraska, and one other state, Nebraska, which is kind of strange, and it's actually imported through a gentleman here in
okay.
Denver, so you get a lot of bang for your buck with this.
That goes very well. So, and you said the term bang for your buck. I want to go back to this meal, because I'm thinking this is just amazing, because Carolyn had mentioned it earlier, Sam, is that, you know, when you go out, you know, when we talked about this quality versus quantity and everything else, I just feel like this is just a lot. But my other thing too is, are all of your portions like this size, or?
All the portions are sizable, but we have vegetarian options as
okay.
well. Smaller portions, a huge slider menu. We do like to bring in fresh fish. Right now we have Alamosa striped bass, whole fish, oak grilled. So they can range. It's kind of just how you feel. And that's why we kind of get back to that. We don't want you to eat. We want you to dine. So that means, like, sometimes you might come in and you need that big meal, but you're mm-hmm. also going to need something kind of smaller, lighter, fresher. You want to hang out for a couple hours. And we do our own charcuterie in-house, our own salamis, prosciuttos, working mm-hmm. on a duck prosciutto right now. It's fantastic. Our own cheese board as well. It's just, you can kind of come in and just gauge on your hunger, or just come in and just have one slider, have a snack of something, and grab a glass of wine, relax.
Now, go back to, you said cheese board?
Yeah.
What is that? I'd like to hear a little bit about, well, I want to hear about the queso. What's going on with that?
We try to find, we work with a local company to find different cheeses. We do a homemade focaccia bread, serve it with Macromina almonds. Right now we have a really nice Ubercone, which is a red wine infused sheep's cow milk, or sheep, sorry. It's Ubercone. It's a red wine infused sheep's milk cheese. Wicked tasty. We've also got a garlic brie.
Garlic. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
You got
yeah.
my attention. And you just said the word garlic. Okay.
We're getting it from some guy outside of Boulder. So we try to get as many cheeses as we can that are locally produced. A lot of our beef is also coming from Never Ever Farms, which is no antibiotics. They never use any of the hormones, all grass-fed. They come from, they're somewhere in like the northwest corner of Colorado. They have a couple different farms in the area. But then, yeah, we do, we'd like to try to make our own homemade sausages, salamis, prosciuttos. I got a curing case right in the middle of the dining room. Come check it out. If you need to purchase any to bring home too, you're welcome to grab a quarter pound or whatever you want.
Do you take reservations?
We do not.
Okay.
Yeah, we do not take reservations. It is first come, first serve. Yes.
Wow. Would not have guessed. I'll be honest with this type of, I would not have guessed that, you know, I just would have thought, okay, you've got to have something, you know, but that's good. But I'm sure you guys are really busy a lot over there.
Yeah. We recommend, coming as early as we can. We just, launched our lunch program, about a week ago. So now we're open at 11:30 every day till 9:30 every night. And Fridays and Saturdays open till 11 o'clock at night.
Wow. Okay. And where is F&G located at?
So we're located at the corner of 32nd and Perry, up in the Highlands where the flashing red light is.
Okay.
Kind of up in a little neighborhood spot up there. Mm. Great patio. Nice and covered. Come and chill out.
So, and then also to Carolyn, I know, once again, going back to, this is a red wine, but I'm actually drinking it. And I'm shocked and I'm actually liking this. And it has different, just a different taste as I taste this. Because normally I don't really go into the reds at all. I'll taste it just because it's here, but I'm just like, okay, I think I could actually finish this glass.
Yeah, so like I said, this is something that is not typical of what I generally bring. Mm-hmm. Generally what I bring is a lot lighter in color.
Yes.
It's more red fruit, it's more tart, and it has more acid. And this wine is one, you know, so many people aren't willing to admit that they like something a little on the sweet side. Mm-hmm. They think that they want all dry, but in reality, what really sells, some of the big brands I'm talking about really are relatively sweet, even though people perceive them as dry. Now, I don't want listeners to think that we're pouring a sweet wine tonight, because it's really not. But it is juicy.
Okay.
And it is big, and it's very pleasant and approachable and silky and smooth and really easy to drink. And that's kind of what you want from your mashed potatoes and meatloaf and home-cooked food is just, you know, it's comfort food. It feels good. And this is a wine that's very recognizable in terms of the flavor profile and the texture. And so why not have something that is kind of down-home wine? And it's probably where most people start. You know, it's funny because when I was introduced to wine, that's when White Zinfandel and wine coolers were first introduced, which is dating me, but there weren't a lot of options at that point. And this, and certainly not this wine, but a wine of maybe this style, like a California Cab, might be where a lot of people started their journey of drinking red wine. So this kind of goes back to that.
Okay. And, you know, just you had mentioned something earlier. We were talking about a part of this recipe comes from Troy's grandmother. So Troy Gard, Tag Restaurant Group, did he get a lot of recipes from his grandmother? Or
he's got a couple family recipes. Some of them he's held on as secrets. A lot of them was from his time working with Roy Yamaguchi in Hawaii with Roy's restaurant. And then he spent many years in Japan and China and Indonesia studying for about 7 to 8 years before coming back to the States and then relocating here to Denver. So a lot of his... a lot of his roots come from that kind of Hawaiian upbringing. Mm. If you get an opportunity to go to Tag on Larimer Square, the flagship restaurant, his number one, his baby, you'll see a lot of those influences over there as well, especially in all of the fresh fish dishes that he brings in.
Great. Well, I just want to say, Sam and Carolyn, thank you so much just both for stopping by. Thank you. My taste buds are thanking you. My waistline and thighs, not so much, Sam. Not so much.
You have to roll out of here.
I know. I'm just like, but this
or walk home.
I know. Make the trek. So I just want to say thank you both very much and just appreciate it. And salud.
Thank you.